Can you hear me? One announcement we failed to announce. Bruce, tell me about it. What happened Sunday?
Saturday.
No, I want you to get up early Sunday morning. We're going to set the clocks back. Fall back, so sit back. The clock's back 1 hour, Saturday before you go to bed. And then it's going to be really dark then. Yeah, you could be in there earlier. Hopefully so. We're in the fourth chapter of Judges. Hopefully we'll finish this tonight. I got the wrong one on there, I guess. There we go. Okay. Yeah. That's probably good, right? We're getting ready to start a battle. Now, who's the judge now that we have?
Deborah.
Now, who's the commander or general under her?
Barak.
And who is he going to be fighting? Okay. He's the commander of who? It's listed as the king of Hebron and the king of Canaan. And so you're going to have the Israelites against the Canaanites. And what's the reason for the battle? I didn't hear you. Okay. It's the same old trouble again. Oppression again and again. Instead of, now we have Deborah, though. She is going to be the judge now. The Lord has appointed her as the judge of the Israelites. And told her that there's going to be a battle, that the oppression is going to be over with, because the Lord is going to be on the side of his children, the Israelites, and they're going to fight a battle. And if you've got the Lord on your side, what more do you want? Now, we had, I think we left off verse 15, but I'm going to go back. Let's go back to verse 11. It says, now Heber, the Canaanite of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, has separated himself from the Canaanites and pitched his tent near the Terebinth tree at Zaanam, which is beside Kadesh. And they reported to Sisera, or who reported to him? Anybody remember? They were going to report to him about Barak. Who did reporting? Huh? Well, it's probably most likely the Canaanites, because you really got two separate camps here. Because in verse 11, you got Heber, that he's going to separate himself away from the Canaanites. Now, Heber, he's the Canaanite, or it could be the Midianite. And we had talked about, it's listed as the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses. A better really translation of that is brother-in-law, not father-in-law. And not that you have to have no Hebrew and all that stuff with it, but the words are really close together, and you can see how they might miss it. But Reuel and Jethro are probably the same person. That is the father-in-law of Moses, as we find out. And so this, and Hobab is really probably a child or one of his children of Jethro, and he's gone, so he will be the son-in-law of it. All right. This Sisera, that Barak, the son of Abinadab, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots. Now, he knows about Barak, what he's going to be doing, because the Kidonites are up in that region there, and so they know what's going to be happening. So Sisera is beginning his plan now, and he's got chariots, and he says they got 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him. Now, it doesn't say how many men were with him, how many he's going to, yeah, we know that the Israelites had how many men with them? 10,000, okay? But we don't know how many men are there are on Sisera's side with us, but we do know he has chariots of iron. He's got 900 of them. And all the people who were with him, from Harosheth Goyim to the river Kishon. So all in that region there, he has, that's where he's going to fight in the battle. Reason I got the wrong judges on here, I made a mistake. I thought I would. I made a map for, or there was a map I found of the battle, and I was going to put it on there, but it's not on this one. So that's my error. But you can see from the region there that where the battle is going to take place is right in the middle of the north and of the south. And then in verse 14, then Deborah said to Barak, all right, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Okay? Deborah is doing the speaking. Deborah is a judge. What else is Deborah? She's the prophetess. And so she is the one that God has put into place. And he says, now, the Lord is going to deliver Sisera into your hand. And he goes on and says, has not the Lord gone out before you? Some of this we're going to find out in the fifth chapter. There's a little bit more detail in the fifth chapter. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And you mainly have of the men that are, we'll talk about that in the fifth chapter too. There's going to be, I think, three tribes that really is not going to fight in battle. And the rest of them are going to be a battle for the Israelites. But Naphtali and Zebulun are going to have the most men, and they're going to be ones that are really fighting for the Lord in this battle. And that's the way to look at the Lord's battle, because the men are going to fight, but the Lord's going to have his hand in it, and he's already told what he's going to do. So in verse 15, and the Lord... I missed that one. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. Okay. You got the Lord on the side. The children of Israel have the Lord on their side. And he, even though he's got 900 chariots of iron, there is no competition against the Lord. Because you remember Pharaoh, his chariots were no good to him when he was going after the children of Israel when they was going through the sea. And they didn't have a good record against the Lord, the chariots didn't either. And so the Lord is going to take care of the 900 chariots of iron. And they're going to be fighting, it's talking about the army of Israel. They're going to be more or less hand-in-hand combat. It says, because his army with the Sisera, is going to lose all of his men. In verse 16, but Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Goyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. Okay? So, what effect do you think seeing Sisera, it says, he's on foot now in verse 15, the last part. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. How would you think that's going to affect the man, his army? Well, how many in the army, I'm not one, but in the battles and things, you've seen some documentation or some stories and film or whatever that the general, if he takes his tail and run, what do you think the men are going to do? I would think so.
But according to this, all these men are dead.
Not yet. Not in verse 15, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All his army with the edge of the sword.
Yeah, I know. It says that. I know what you're talking about, but they're not dead yet. Because in verse 16, and all the armor of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword, not a man was left with it. So you will see Sisera, the general or commander of the army. And like I said, we don't know how many men he's got, but he's got 900 chariots of iron, which the Israelites do not have. They're not used to fighting battles. They're not even worry if you find out in chapter 5 that they didn't even have an army. They didn't know how to do this. And they so, but you'll, when we get to chapter 5, we'll find out a little bit more how that they kind of were upbeat, even though they were being oppressed and everything. For 20 years, they see that it's time that is on their side. And the Lord has told them, and Barak and Deborah, that the Lord was going to be with them. And it says that Deborah told him in verse 14, told Barak, this is your general. And you don't think he's going to tell his army? He says, up, for this is the day. This is the day. This is the battle which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into your hand. The hand means Israelites are going to win, because the Lord is going to fight for them. And he tells them that I will take care of Sisera, and he will lose his power, but you will have power over him, because into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you already? Right? The Lord had gone out. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. They were right there on the heels of him, more selective talking about, following him, that they were ready to go and fight the battle. So you get the impression, some more so, that they're already, even though they're not have an army, they're not equipped with fighting or anything of that sort. They're not military minded. They're not mighty men. It doesn't say anything. But they are ready to battle. They are ready to go battle this day. We will go to battle with them. And now they're in battle, and Sisera see that he's losing the battle. And he takes off. He says he's alighted from, he is out from his chariot. He doesn't have his chariot anymore. And so he's going to go on foot. And so he does. But Barak doesn't go after him. Barak pursues the chariots. He goes after the other army men. And as far as Harosheth Goyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword, not a man was left. So the general has left and is fleeing away. And so the men see this and what's going on, and they say, well, wait a minute. Our general, our commander, doesn't think we can win. And if he doesn't think we can win, and he's running away, well, we're going to do the same thing. And that's what he does. When you got the Lord on your side, it makes a big difference. He says now in verse 17, any questions or comments so far? Yes, ma'am. You think about this, one thing is that you have one battle here. But what is one battle going to do?
It's a confidence builder.
One battle. They've been oppressed for 20 years. But now, with the Lord on their side, and they're seeing his actions, we'll talk more in the fifth chapter, but because it gives more, a little bit of detail about it. But this one battle is going to swing the whole oppression thing. This one battle. And they see that they are in it, they are winning it. But what? The Lord is with us. And that makes a big, big difference when you have the Lord with you. And Sisera doesn't have the Lord. And you see what the difference. Doesn't make a difference if he's on church. Or I don't. He may even have more men. I don't know. But it doesn't make any difference. He doesn't have the Lord. So if he doesn't have the Lord, and the Lord's against you, you're not going to win. And that's what has happened. However, verse 17, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Now here's a little bit of note. It says, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, or Jabin, the king of Canaan. He was the king. There was peace between the Canaanites, Heber, he talked about, and Jabin, and the house of Heber, the Canaanite. But we just saw beforehand listed that if you go back to 11, where they separated it out, that Heber doesn't say what was the reason, but he separated from them. Even though they were getting some favorable condition, they weren't being oppressed. They were at peace with Jabin. And so, but for some reason, he didn't like the oppression that what he was doing with the Israelites or whatever. He separated himself away from them. So you got really two camps of Canaanites. You got Heber, said he moved away from them. Then you got the other Canaanites up here. And they talk about, they said there was peace between them. There was friendship between them. They lived in accordance with each other. There was harmony there. And so when he's running away and he goes to the house there, he thinks they're going to help him out. He's by himself. And Jael was there, and it says in verse 18, Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, Lord, turn aside. That means basically change your direction. Don't run away. Don't change. He says, change your directions. Turn aside. And do not fear. Okay? Do not fear. Sisera, come in. And when he had turned aside, he changed his direction with her into the, he turned in and went into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Okay? And so he thinks, now look, she tells him, all right, change your direction. You're going the wrong way. Come here. And he goes into the tent with her. Now, what would you think of a general going into a tent with a woman to protect yourself? I wouldn't put much faith in him, would you? I wouldn't. He's hiding. And I'll be honest with you, I will give him a little bit of credit. I would think that would be a good idea. I won't think the men would go in and look for, think about that, Sisera will be inside the tent there hiding. Very few men I don't think would come by and look and say that. I don't think that would happen. But it may be. But he goes inside the tent with her, and she covered him with a blanket now, all right? Then he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, 'Is there any man here?' you shall say, 'No.'" He makes a request, you know. He's been in a battle. He's been losing. And he's run away. He's fleeing. And he tells them, "Say, look, I need some water. I'm thirsty." Why do you think she gave him milk instead of water? Huh? There you go. What always did you hear? Warm milk at bedtime helps you sleep. I don't drink milk, so I can't tell you that. Now, if it's chocolate milk, I might do it. But now, regular milk, I don't drink it. All right, Sherry? Well, she's telling me to tell him.
She is leading him and guiding him.
Right.
And for him to be a general over this humongous army, it's ridiculous. I mean, really. So God's hand is in every bit of this, because if you've ever studied about battles or any of that kind of thing, you can see that this, I don't want to use the term lame, but you can see how God's hand is in this guy and this fellow. Because he's going to get it.
It's an interesting story. It really is.
Because that's not how it works on battlefield.
Okay.
Well, back in verse 15, it says God routed. The term was translated God routed. And if an army's being routed, that means they're being really... utterly whooped. I mean, there, it's all over. So, to use that strong term, that God routed the army.
Well, it's
said, it's time to get out of Dodge before they come after me. And so,
well, it's interesting about, there's a couple of factors we'll talk about when we get to the fifth chapter. But which is the poem of about Deborah, or the song or psalm of Deborah, and you get more a little bit more information of it. Now Grant might want to lead us in singing it coming Sunday here if he wants to. It's okay with me if he wants to. But it told him that, look, the Lord has already gone out before. Okay? Remember these little things as you read chapter 5, and you'll see. But instead of giving him water, she gives him milk and gave him a drink of it. Then she covers him up. Okay? And that could be, you know, a warming effect with the milk and everything like that. Plus, it's a security thing that he's hidden underneath there. And he tells her, "Now, you just stand there at the door of the temple, of the tent, excuse me, and if somebody come along and say, 'Is there a man in there?' you just tell them, 'No.'" That's what you tell them. Now in 21, he says, then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and worry, so he died. Now, what did Deborah tell Barak? That a woman was going to get the honor. All right? Not you, Barak. You're the commander. You're the general, whatever. You're leading you're one of the leaders, top leaders here, but you're not going to get the honor. Like Jael is going to get the honor in it. And think about it. All she's got is a tent peg and a hammer. You don't think that would be easy? I think she knows how to use a hammer and a tick peg of what I took at. There's no mistake. She knows how she knows how to use it. That's her weapon. A hammer and a tick peg. And it worked. Along with some of these other things too. Because the way it says, for he was fast asleep. Gave him milk instead of water. And he's under this blanket and everything for comfort or for warmth and hiding. And he is wore out. But what she does, kill him. No. She knows how to use that hammer. I'm pretty sure of that. Better than I could probably do it. In verse 22, and then Barak pursued Sisera. Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, I will show you the man whom you were seeking or seek. And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with the peg in his temple. That probably was the last thing he was thinking that he was going to see. That Sisera would be dead inside of her tent. But he is. And, you know, she was out there waiting for or seeking him to come and says, you just come in here and I'll show you the man whom you seek with it. And so on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan. See, he's the king of, had him as Hazor, now he's the king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had to destroy Jabin, king of Canaan. So their oppression was overdue 20 years. They begged for the Lord, cried out to the Lord. He heard them, sent them Deborah to be their judge and have them come in and choose a prophetess also. And he had his hand in the battle. And with her, Barak and the Lord and all these men, they took care of Sisera and his great army. And in the time they talk about, it switches different. Now, The Israelites are becoming stronger and stronger against Jabin, the king. He's no longer able to oppress them, but the children of Israel are going to. So Sunday, we'll begin with the fifth chapter. Thank you very much.